Support comes from St. Louis Public Library Foundation, helping the library serve children and their families with programs and services needed to become lifelong readers. More information about the foundation is at slpl.org.
This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. If you're anything like me, the word archivist summons all sorts of sensory imagery. A bespectacled elder bent over a large old wooden table, looking back and forth between a scatter of yellowed papers here and halfway open cabinet drawers there. And it's all under a basement cloud of fine, sneeze-inducing dust. Now, we've lived long enough in a time when most information is stored in another kind of cloud, the sort that lives online, but this is a hard image to shake. And that makes me wonder, how much do we know about archivists today and how they do what they do? Emma Prince knows just a bit about that. She's an archivist and entrepreneur who started a St. Louis-based company that helps build archives for museums, schools, and other organizations, and assists individuals who want to learn about their family history. And she joins us now. Emma, welcome to St. Louis on the Air.
Thanks for having me.
So the picture I drew in the intro of an archivist in the library looking through dusty things, do you do that? Is that at all an accurate depiction of the job that you do?
Yes. Yeah. Oftentimes archives are found in basements or attics, you know, usually wherever an institution can spare the space.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that also goes hand in hand with the dust that you mentioned and oftentimes also mold.
Okay. So the things that archivists do and an introduction to the work, how is it that you got started?
So as an archivist, honestly, I did an undergraduate degree in history and didn't want to teach.
Okay.
So I went on to work in archives. But my first archives job was over at Maryville University.
Mm-hmm.
I was their archivist for 5 years until the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
And Backlog was born after the pandemic. I was laid off and I was needed a new project.
Mm-hmm. So this company, Backlog, you are offering both archival and genealogical services. Emma, give us kind of a basic overview of those categories of service. You know, what do they mean? And maybe how are they distinctly different?
So whenever you go to a museum, you're only seeing about 2-3% of their collection. And so we work with that other 95% as far as archives go.
Okay.
So everything that's in storage. And so that doesn't always have to be a museum. It's a lot of nonprofits, a lot of organizations with a rich history. So it's their papers, photographs, objects, you know, anything that people have collected over the years.
Mm-hmm.
And then our genealogy research is more families and individuals based. So doing research on, we do a lot of brick wall research, like, hi, my family's from St. Louis. We can't connect to this different generation. Can you help us with this brick wall? And so archives is more, you know, the organization of stuff. And then genealogy is doing research sometimes with that stuff.
Mm-hmm. When you say brick wall, what does that mean exactly?
Oh, so it's, you know, just kind of a problem that people have found in their research. So if you've been on Ancestry for hours and hours, you can't find this great grandfather.
Okay.
That's what I mean by that.
Okay. So it's a barrier that needs to be overcome in some way.
Yes, yes.
So this founding of Backlog, you mentioned the history. It does have to do with the pandemic. To what extent, though, was sort of the necessity the mother of Backlog's invention? In other words, were there services of a certain kind that you were hoping to fill or that you knew needed to be filled when you began offering these services?
Yeah. So when I started Backlog, I started reaching out to some local St. Louis high schools because my background is in academic archives.
Mm.
And I really thought that we could just cobble together a couple of part-time jobs, you know, to get me through a couple of years. And it's really just grown. And we've been trying to, you know, fulfill any requests that are given to us. But at the beginning, I kept getting asked about genealogy research. Mm-hmm. And before I worked for Maryville, I worked out at the St. Louis County Library in their history and genealogy department. And so we started taking on those as clients as well. So a lot of individuals looking for those answers.
Mm-hmm. On the institutional side, does that mean that you were going to many different buildings? Because what was it, 97%? Was that the number? That's a lot to store in a single attic or basement. I mean, mm-hmm. does your work also then involve a lot of travel?
Yes. So it's just, you know, kind of whatever institution needs help. So I've been working with some institutions in Chicago recently. Mm-hmm. I've been out to Los Angeles to work with a group of Carmelite sisters.
Oh,
and
sure.
So it's just kind of wherever the need is.
Okay. Carmelite sisters typically stay in one place, right?
They sure do.
So let's hear a little bit more about your clients. One of the organizations you did archival work for is the Walt Disney Hometown Museum in Marceline, Missouri. That is where Walt Disney lived with his family in his early childhood. What is it that you were tasked with doing there?
So Marceline is about an hour from an interstate. And so they were really looking for a way to share their collection with people outside of Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially after the pandemic, everyone did so much, you know, armchair travel.
Sure, sure. Yeah.
So we helped them set up a digitization plan and a digital archive. They have some really, really cool scrapbooks that were donated by Walt's younger sister, Ruth. And we were able to help them digitize those scrapbooks with a scanner that does books so people outside of Marceline can see them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, these scrapbooks have very, very early Walt Disney cartoons from when he was like ages 20 and 21.
Mm-hmm.
His signature is way different. It just says Walter Disney.
Okay.
And so it's just kind of being able to showcase these gems and bring them to like a wider community.
Yeah. So I'm not asking you to reveal any secrets or anything like that, but in the course of that particular project or other ones too, do you come upon some things that, you know, an institution or an organization would prefer not to leave? So is there sort of a line in the contract that says that you will also keep some of these things very deeply archived?
Yeah. There's usually most collections will have a restricted section.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is only for staff eyes or only certain staff eyes. You know, and certain clubs and organizations, you know, can't disclose membership. You know, and some things, yes, are very sensitive.
Mm-hmm. So you also worked with an associate at Backlog with the City Museum, which is right here in St. Louis in the city. What did your work there involve?
So we were contacted by the City Museum because they were looking for a way to catalog their artwork. And if you've ever been in City Museum, mm-hmm. everything in the City Museum is art. And so they were looking for a dynamic solution to catalog things like slides. And so we built them a custom catalog because, you know, if they're looking for a photograph or information about the artist, you know, and it's dealing with physical things that they use every day.
Mm-hmm. How much work do you do with the client in order to figure out a system that works for them? Or is the purpose kind of to get over that such that when the folks who are at the museum now, that even if they're not there, folks in the future will understand how to find things?
Yeah. So whenever we start working with a new client, I always like to visit in person. And I like to see the things that we want to catalog or describe. And it's usually a couple of follow-up meetings. And then I always want to figure out who's your end user.
Mm-hmm.
So is it going to be for staff, for volunteers? And so that way we can build workflows that will work for, you know, the user.
Mm-hmm.
And so with City Museum, I visited on site a couple of times. And then there were some follow-up phone calls and some training with staff.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned that you got a lot of requests for people, individuals who wanted to know more about their families. And in learning about these clients and helping them, there was a lot of it that was related to German heritage in St. Louis. Are there any common threads that you found in researching St. Louis families, Emma?
I, for one, have been surprised at how many German Catholics there are.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been a large part of our research. And it's just interesting how many, you know, a lot of, so about almost 70% of our genealogy clients are from outside of St. Louis. And so it's just interesting how many people have reached out to us to do St. Louis research, whose families, you know, came through St. Louis, whether or not they stayed for a decade or two, mm-hmm. but just how so much of the United States is connected to St. Louis.
Yeah. How much of a challenge does that pose then for the work that you're trying to do?
Well, for us, it's great because, you know, like we're here and the records are here.
Right, right.
Yeah.
St. Louis also has very deep French colonial heritage. How has that been part of the work, you know, that you do and the associates at Backlog are undertaking?
So obviously, you know, like St. Louis's roots are French. We've done a couple of webinars on this to help people use these records. We did a webinar on Kaskaskia manuscripts. Mm-hmm. So very early French settlers. And the biggest thing with these older French records isn't always the translation, but the transcription of them.
Oh.
So trying to recognize the characters so then they can be translated.
Okay. It's a lot of work. Emma Prince is an archivist and the founder of Backlog, a St. Louis-based archival company. And we're talking about what that work entails. So in some of the promotions that we were running about this segment, I used the term detective work. So how much of the work that you do you consider a form of detective work?
With genealogy, almost all of it, you know, because it's a lot of trying to figure out where is the record, where should it be, and if it's not where it should be, how do we find it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Are there any stories of discoveries that you've made after you've been looking for a really long time to find something?
Yeah, sometimes I found that my genealogist won't stop a project after we've already given the client the final result.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes we'll come back and say, oh, hey, we actually found it a county over.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And is that kind of a temperamental characteristic? Like in order to be a good archivist that you almost like have to be told to stop looking for something?
Yeah, I think it's just kind of the doggedness about, I know this is out there, I'm going to find it. And it's just that attention to detail. And sometimes it takes time to go through all these details and records.
Mm-hmm. Talk with us about some of the technology that you use in order to do your work.
Yeah. So for genealogy, it's always trying to look at you know, at indexes and online databases. And then for archives, I've been really working to integrate modern tools with these workflows. For example, the tool we used for City Museum was Airtable, which is a really mm-hmm. dynamic database builder. The way I like to describe it to my clients is that it's Google Sheets on steroids.
Oh, okay.
And so it's just being able to use these modern tools with really great search capabilities mm-hmm. to perform this work.
So much of what you're working with is like their digital technology pieces of equipment. The thing I think with City Museum that is really interesting is that it is such an in-person, physical, tactile sort of experience. Is there something that you provided for City Museum that would be part of the archive, but something that you could actually touch?
With City Museum, it was mainly just photographs to represent those items.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So the photographs are sort of as far as you get. And was there anything interesting that you saw in City Museum's storage, maybe that people have not seen for years, or maybe things that are just waiting for the right time to be introduced?
Yeah. So going to these places and seeing behind the scenes is the coolest part of my job. And I would say that with City Museum, they've collected all this stuff that will go into future parts of the building. And it's always just interesting to watch their, you know, their online presence to see, you know, like what they've been building next.
Mm-hmm. So it's not as much about the past as some people might think.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. This business you started, Backlog, you did study, in addition to history, business administration in college. So you're using those skills to manage this new enterprise. Emma, what is it like being a historian and archivist while at the same time being a business owner and a manager?
It's a weird juxtaposition for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's really hard to, you know, you know, speak with clients and figure out, you know, like budgets around these projects. And, you know, like when we've worked as librarians and historians, where we're willing to just put all of the hours in.
Right,
yeah.
Right. Yeah. And so do you like that business side? Is it something that you're, you know, that you're coming around to in a particular way?
I think that's the most fun part of it for me, is being able to talk to new people, learn all these family stories, you know, kind of imagine how we can help them to move their project forward or their research forward. And then on the archives side, it's also kind of, it's a lot of fun, again, to tour all these places and to see these collections.
Mm-hmm. So something that is interesting and noteworthy about Backlog is that almost all the staff are women. Was that intentional?
I just drew upon my network to build Backlog. Yeah, and all of the staff is female. I think I have two male contractors, but it's just been a lot of fun, you know, like kind of in a, and at the, in the description you gave at the very beginning about Dusty Archives, I think that people also imagine old men in tweed jackets.
Right, right.
And that's definitely not our staff. And that's kind of fun to show up to meetings and be a little bit more modern and kind of move the profession forward.
Mm-hmm. So, is there, you know, a family or an organization locally or maybe beyond that you'd love to work with or to build a particular kind of archive for?
I'd love to do a business archive to help a business set one up. Mm-hmm. Yeah, kind of build one from scratch, you know, and business archives can be really helpful for marketing. And they just have so many uses that people don't usually imagine.
Mm-hmm. I mean, are we talking like a big business or maybe is there a small one that... if we put it out into the world, that maybe they'll come and find you.
Oh, I'm not sure, but yeah.
Yeah. And last here, are there any projects you're working on now that you are particularly excited about?
So I'm working with right now with the First Division Museum at Cantini in Wheaton, Illinois. Mm-hmm. And that's our first military museum that we've worked with. Mm-hmm. And that's been interesting to dig into all of the language around, you know, everything in military archives. And so it's kind of our latest project.
Mm-hmm. Well, good luck with that.
It'll
be interesting to see what it ends up with. Emma Prince is an archivist and founder of the St. Louis-based archival company, Backlog. Emma, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Today's segment was produced by Aula Kuziz.
Audio engineering and podcast design by Aaron Dorr.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thank you.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis.
The Gateway brings you the day's news each weekday from around the St. Louis region and the state capitals in Jefferson City.
Our schools are accredited. We don't need this bill.
And Springfield.
How many more years must pass before lawmakers see time is of the essence?
I'm Abby Larico. Join me each weekday for The Gateway on the STLPR app or wherever you get podcasts.